Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Spiritual Landscapes Show with hosts Lottie and Frankie calling from Stockholm. Today it's 5 p.m. here, as well as in Paris, 9 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. East, 4 p.m. London time, and 6 p.m. Greece and Finland. This is because of the daylight saving time, and there is different dates in different countries. In Europe, we start at the end of this month, so I don't know why, but, well, that is a fact today. We are the show that discusses different spiritual topics concerning us all. Today we have a beautiful weather here in Stockholm, but it's quite cold, and when I talk to our special guest today, well, it's a lot warmer in Arizona, I guess. Well, today we will discuss the hero's journey, part one. Did you know that everyone is a hero or a heroine? Well, call in at 714-816-4628 in international callers dial plus one, 714-816-4628. Call in, discuss with us, or get a mini reading live here on air. We take calls as they come today from about 25 minutes into the show because we have a very special guest here today. So don't hang up, folks. I'm Lottie, coming to you live from Stockholm, Sweden. I'm a psychic medium working with spirit in different ways since the mid-90s, also taking mini readings for guidance here live at the show. I'm doing this show with my co-host and husband, Frankie, an astrologer, teacher, and out-of-the-body traveler. He uses I Ching for answering your questions. And today, we are honored to have a special guest. And we have Dax Carlisle from here at Psychic Talks. So you are so welcome, Dax. Do we have Dax
here?
Hi,
Lottie. Hi, Frankie.
Hey.
Yeah.
And
welcome.
We have
welcome
here
to the show.
A small presentation now, our guest today, Dr. Dax Carlisle. He is a clinical hypnotherapist, a life coach, and a tarot advisor who lives in Tucson, Arizona. He's an executive producer of the Psychic Talk Radio Network and president of the Tarot Guild. So, we are so happy to have you here, Dax.
Great
so
to be here.
Colin, good, and we are letting you in a minute. So, please call in and get your spot early at 714-816-4628 and international caller style plus one. 714-816-4628 and get your spot early. Remember to press 1 on your keypad on your device to be placed in queue to speak with us live here at the show. Listen live and text chat with us all in one place. Go to our chat room at psychictalk.net/live where you can send messages to us during the live broadcast. You can comment, ask questions, chat with other listeners, and even request a reading. PsychicTalk.net/live or call in now and get your spot early. 714-816-4628. And don't forget to press 1 on your keypad. let me bring on my co-host for Spiritual Landscapes, Frankie. Hi, Frankie. How are you?
Hello, hello. I'm fine. And this evening to be some kind of, I hope we will have some good dialogues with Dykes, who is involved in that sort of thinking, as I heard, as is a specialist of tarot. So I will try to expose, the hero's journey in general terms, because that takes a long or too much time. It's very difficult to describe something that is, inherent in our personalities, we human beings, because it is a kind of master template, an existential master template and spiritual master template for our lives. So today it will be a general exposition of what the hero's journey means, and I will speak about the history behind that, how the creation of that meta-narrative, if you want, the first person who used that term was an anthropologist called Edward Taylor, and he was observing several patterns of plots of hero's journey and rites of initiation and all of that in small archaic societies, and in our collective tales, in our myths. And that was 1871. The Freudian analyst, Otto Rancke, the guy behind the birth trauma, as we spoke about a couple of weeks before, I think, added another dimension, and the hero's journey was connected in his interpretation to the birth of the child, entering, the world from the dark place, And Joseph Campbell, the famous mythologist, in his comparative studies, create, if you want, the general view called, he wrote a book called The Hero of the Thousand Faces. And we have, the basic narrative is a hero ventures forth from the world of common day into a region of supernatural wonder. Fabulous forces are there encountered, and this is it, victory is won. The hero comes back from this mysterious adventure with the power to bestow boons on his fellow men. There are several Jungian analysts like Erich Neumann, who wrote about that and described, for example, heroes like Gautama the Buddha, Moses, or Jesus Christ, in the term of this kind, they call it a monomyth. So the hero's journey is divided in 17 general phases, but I will not go very much into that because it's too complicated, but I will bring forth only the fourth fundamental phases. The part one is the call to adventure, In general, the person is totally unconscious at the beginning, man or a woman. And the second part, you have an initiation, and after you have an ordeal. The hero is going through a lot of problems, obstacles to overcome and things like that, And after doing that, you have that phase of transformation, and the last phase is going back to the world, which is not an easy task when you have been, been traveling in some unknown regions. It's very difficult to go back in our, everyday consensus reality. So that is very interesting to speak about how to master these two worlds, the common world and the supernatural world, if you want, you know. This is, I mean, the centrality of the Aureus journey is that you are discovering a superconscious world, and you are coming back to tell to your fellow human beings what you have seen. It's very, very much like the parable of Plato's cave, you know, when you know our fellow human beings are chained, you know, and they're just watching on the walls of the cave, you know, a display of shadows, and this is the only they know. And somebody one day can escape from the cave and see the light outside, you know. And when he's coming back to tell the people, they are not going to believe him, you know. So you understand that's a common theme that we people aren't encountering in our daily lives. So I think it's very important to bring forth that dimension. Like everyone here on this planet is actually potentially a hero or heroine, you know, and we're all of us encountering several obstacles, and we're going through ordeals in our lives. And this dialogue today can be a good opportunity for us to share that with our public, you know, people are listening to, you know, and to start a dialogue with Dax, who is is working with that kind of template with tarot. You know, we can use it in different. We can use all kind of technologies of the sacred, if you want, you know, in order to highlight. I mean, this general narrative that we are encountering in our existence from birth to death. Yeah. So, for example, you should take a hero like Jesus, you know, he's having the sense that something higher is calling him, you know. So, he's going in the wilderness, you know, and he has an ordeal, he's encountering the devil or his own shadow, if you want, you know, in psychological terms.
Yeah.
If we are using a Jungian term, you know, some people believe maybe it's the devil. That's fine. But I mean, in our case, it's interesting to me that the personality is not whole at the moment, so there is a division. So Jesus is ordeal in the desert. He's slowly understanding it's a mission, if you want, you know, and that's a part of the Aureus journey, and what he's encountering after, you know, I mean, his deeds and everything like that is very much the good illustration of the Aureus journey, and his death and resurrection is exactly the same. It is included in that general pattern, if you want, and that can be attached to Moses, for example. Yeah, a good example. Moses living in Egypt, you know, and he was living the life of the prince, and one day he's seeing things that do not belong to his own background, and he's wondering what's going on with him, and then he's forced to escape, you know, meeting Jethro and his wife Zipporah, and, you know, the burning bush, all of that, and going back, the commandment of instruction of God to bring back his people, you know, and to all of that is a psychological process, you know, put in these terms, in mythical terms like the promised land and the chosen people, all that, because the hero is a chosen one, you know, so we're all chosen in that sense, you know. There is always a call from the higher source to awaken you, you know. So we have Moses, and we have the Buddha also, who was living the life of a priest like Moses, and one day he discovered that, you know, the facts of life, you know, the birth, old age, illness and dying, you know. So he was completely, he was so shocked, you know, and And he went through that ordeal of yoga and everything, and he reached enlightenment, you know. And the second phase, that after reaching the enlightenment, he had some problem to in himself to go out and teach. You know, there was this famous sermon in Benares, you know, he was talking about his capacity to teach what he had experienced. You know? But he overcome it, that obstacle, and that was the life of the Buddha, you know, the second birth, if you want, the twice born, and teaching mankind. So you can see the common pattern with Jesus and Moses, you know, and all the, of course, all the personalities. Yeah.
It's so fascinating.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know? And
yeah.
we can find that in ourselves. If you look deeply, you know, for example, somebody reaching a crisis in his life, her life, you know, mm-hmm. being ill, I don't know, you know, job changes, you know, a great variety of difficult situation in life, you know, because life is basically difficult. Then we're going to a psychotherapy treatment, if you call it a treatment, I don't like that term. Then you're discovering slowly that you are that hero, you know, or hearing. And you have to take care of yourself. It is what Carl Gustav Jung called the process of individuation, becoming a person, you know, an individual. So we can say that. I think Dax knows very much about that with his tarot, about that process of individuation.
Yeah, so let's bring on our guest. Dax, what do you think when you are hearing about the hero's journey? I think you have done something yourself and your own experience, and also met people doing this journey in your job as a tarot reader.
Right. Actually, most of the connection with the hero's journey is people studying tarot and getting an understanding of the archetypes involved. And we often talk about the fool's journey, because the fool card in tarot is part of a subgroup called the major arcana, and it's 22 cards, and each one holds a lesson. And because the fool card is numbered 0 and the other cards are numbered 1 through 21, the fool card is seen as outside of this group and able to move and flow through the other line of, you know, the line of cards 1 through 21, making this progressive journey. We don't use it much in actual reading, but it's a great study to understand what's going on with the archetypes. Everything that can happen with us in our lives is found within the tarot. And so it's populated by these archetypes. The fool's journey, or the hero's journey, as in this case we're talking about, the hero's journey and the archetypes are universal. They're found across the entire globe, regardless of language or religion or culture. It's the exact same archetypes, and that's why the psychologist Carl Jung was so fascinated with the hero's journey and with these archetypes, because they're so universal. They're found everywhere.
Yeah.
And the hero's journey is used as a template for literature, and nowadays, of course, movies and television. But it's not a template that was invented. It was actually discovered, because all of us go through the hero's journey.
Yes, absolutely. And
yeah.
I think when you're starting your spiritual journey, it's very obvious. I can see it at my students in the school. And I usually tell them about the hero's journey, the first course, because they have the call and some struggle, some people are talking about the struggle, don't listen to the signals, wanting them
right.
to go the spiritual path, and eventually they come to us, to the school as students, and some of them have been waiting years and have struggling with this, and this is a very release when they are coming to us and processing are really starting when they are coming and go through all the steps that Frankie was telling about, and it's so
mm-hmm.
interesting.
Well, it's good to know, you know, be familiar with it, because it'll help you with any journey in life, you know, not just something as massive as one's spiritual journey, but even everyday things. I'll give you an example. So all of these steps that we're talking about, people break them down into different numbers, anywhere from about 12 to about 17 steps, but they all fit within four different parts. So part one is the call to adventure, and then part two is the supreme ordeal, the initiation. Part three is unification and transformation, and then part four is the road back, the hero's return, where the hero returns with either greater wisdom or new insights or powers that they're able to then share back in their ordinary world. But it all starts in the beginning with this call to action, and we're in the ordinary world, but we have to travel out of our ordinary world to make progress through these steps. And it's basically, the way I describe it to people, it's thinking outside the box. It's getting outside of your comfort zone. And regardless of what you're trying to manifest in your life, whether it's enlightenment, you're going on your spiritual journey, or whether you're simply trying to manifest the car, the Maserati, the house on the beach, the new relationship, the new career, whatever it is you're trying to manifest, the first
Absolutely.
Part of manifestation is, the first part of that is this stepping outside of the comfort zone. You have to step outside of the box, think outside of the box, leave the ordinary world and go into this new world.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Don't you agree, Frankie? Yeah.
Yes, nice put it in, well, beautiful world, because it is exactly that tension between what is a transcendent and immanent, you know, living, mastering two worlds, you know. And that is exactly what we have to learn in incarnation. The meaning of incarnation, for example, in Christianity, is that, you know, is that to accept, absorb, and transcend this very difficult plane of existence, you know, the Earth plane. You know? So in that sense, it is embodying spirituality. We spoke about that last time. You know, it's exactly the meaning of incarnation in that sense. You know?
Yes. Absolutely.
So,
guys, I think we have some callers.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Yes, we have
some
callers.
Some calls? Yeah? So.
Sure.
Okay. Hello, caller. Who are you? What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Donna. I'm from California. Hello.
Hi, Donna from California. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Enjoying your conversation.
Fine.
I have a question. About a week and a half ago, I was sitting in my daily meditation, which I do for about a half an hour, and a message came in. It was so loving, and it just filled me up with so much love and peace, and it said, it's coming soon. It's like, where is this coming from? And then about 3 days ago, I was sitting with my eyes closed, and I heard it again. It's coming soon. So do you know if that's a relationship or more abundance so I can travel? I know something's coming in. I just don't know what.
Okay. What's coming up, Dex? Do you want to start? What's coming up for Donna?
You go ahead, Lottie. I'm actually shuffling my cards right now. Haven't gotten into it yet.
Yeah. I start. Okay, Donna, let's see what's going on for you. It's something with your love life. Something is coming up. And I think something is coming up because you have been doing some progress with your work with yourself. As you're hearing on your journey, and you are more balanced and ready to embrace and be embraced by life, I think you have a little bit of patience to do, but not very long. So, and you have some kind of decision to make further on, and that decision, the decision, something in your love life, and something about your work. And I think you want to change it in your work situation, and changes are coming, and you have a decision to make. And perhaps it's not a very easy decision to make, so you have to think through it, really think through it. But then it's going to be fine, I guess. It's fine. So give it
that
you...
Yeah. I'm getting a lot of background noise. I don't know if...
That's not me.
I think that might have been I think it was coming from Frankie's line there. But, Donna, what I'm getting is that you've been through some recent sudden change, and that you're making progress in this direction. The tarot is talking about... keeping balance in your life. There's also opportunities in this area that you're currently not aware of. And, you know, it's already there. You're just not seeing it. But the main focus is the Eight of Cups, which is a card about embracing change and moving on, letting go, breaking away, moving upward and onward. And it's Cups, which is emotions. And it's talking about getting all of your past issues that you have emotional connection with, getting that all in order, and basically letting go of things from the past so that you can move forward.
Yeah, I did a lot of forgiving work, and yeah, definitely. And I'm in A Course in Miracles, and... Yeah, it's good.
Awesome. Yep, you're going in the right direction.
All right.
Well, thanks for the call.
Thank you. Thank you. And have a nice day, both of you.
Yeah, thank you. Have you something to add?
Well, I rejoin what Dax said about, because the I Ching gave the hexagram modesty.
Okay.
Modesty, yeah. But there are some, some issues with pride and stuff like that, you know. Usual stuff that everybody has with it, you know, some shadow work to be done.
Mm. Okie dokie. Thank you, Donna, for calling.
Awesome.
And do we have a caller, one more caller on the line? Caller.
We have another caller.
Yeah? Hello, caller. What's your name and where are you calling? Hi. What's your name?
Hi, my name is T. Rana.
T. Rana. Can you say it again? T. Rana?
Rana.
Ivana?
T. Rana. Yeah. Oh, welcome, T. Rana. Where are you calling from?
New York.
Oh, a New Yorker. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so what can we do for you?
I just wonder, can you pick up, can I like give you a name and pick up, like you could like pick up the energy between us or something like that?
I'm having trouble hearing her.
Yeah, me too. Please, can you repeat?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, get closer to your microphone, Tavana. We're having trouble hearing you.
Oh, okay. Oh, I had it on Bluetooth, so I think that's what that... Can you hear me better now? Hello?
Yeah?
Yeah, that's a lot better.
Hello?
You can hear me
now?
So
repeat
what's
your question.
Yes.
My love life. My boyfriend's name is Divine. And like, we're not living. I live in a financial situation. It's like at rock bottom, and I think it's just affecting everything else in a relationship. And we have a 9-month-old son, and I don't know if I want to hold on to it because of the baby, or I feel like I really just want it. I don't think I just want to hold on to it because of the baby. Like, I don't know if I should just let it go. But everything in me is telling me not to. I don't know.
Okay. Would you like to start, X? Okay,
Lottie, because I'm not quite getting anything coming through right now, and I'm not really sure of the specific question. You know, in order to do tarot, you have to have a very specific question.
I start, Rana. You were asking about your relationship, and when I'm looking at this relationship, I can really see that you are so stressed about it. And I think it's a lot of stuff that's going on here. And I think you should go your own path, take care of yourself. You mentioned a baby, didn't you?
Yeah.
Tirana?
Yes, she did.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And I think you should hold on to yourself and the baby. And actually, I don't think that this relationship is very good. So I think you are going to be much more happy on your own, actually. I'm sorry to say that straight out. But I really think it's a good idea. You have to take care of yourself, and you have to take care of the baby. It's so important. Frankie, have you something to add here?
Not very much. It is exactly how you are describing it.
Yeah.
The situation is very, it's quite dark, you know, and it's a gradual process of finding oneself, you know, something like that. Pretty much. What is the hexagram of Eugene telling you?
Yeah.
A lot of confusion, and it will take, it's better to think that it's a gradual process, not to be too in a hurry, you know?
Can you understand, Tirana?
I had to put her line on hold because there's a lot of background noise. But I can just add to that I'm getting the Hermit card, which is seeking counsel and taking a step back from the situation. I really think she needs a wise mentor to help her through this.
Yeah.
And then when she takes the step back, and the Magician card is also showing up, it's about taking your own power and realizing that you're the one manifesting in your life. And then once she does that and works with a mentor, then I get the World card. So the world opens up to her. Things get a lot better. And then somebody else, a different individual, comes in. And this person is represented by the Page of Swords. And it's somebody that is potentially one of the air signs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Tirana, can you understand? Things are going much better in the future. And also, I would like to add, Tirana, I have a lady from Spirit here, and I think she can be some kind of a grandmother or something like that. Determined. She was very determined, and she had her values, and she was knowing things, and I think she was speaking it right out. But she had her heart on the right place. So she wasn't a gentle personality, but she had a really a heart of gold. But she was very straight, very direct, and she's really concerned about you. And I can feel her worry about you and your baby. So you really have to take care. And like Dax said, perhaps you should find somebody to help you, some counselor or something like that. And take support from friends and family if it's possible, and move on. And it's new openings to you further on. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah. So bless you, and thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, guys.
Bye.
All righty.
So, what about the hero's journey? And I would really like to add, when you're starting a process, a spiritual path process, it's so much happening in your life because the things that you shadow sides and fears and bad experience and stuff like that just popping up. And my experience from my students is that people are divorcing, get married to somebody else, move, change job, change friends, and really go through a quite turbulent phase with some beautiful things, the contact with spirit and spiritual entities, but also facing yourself. So it's really adventure, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. May I say something?
Yeah.
Yes, let's use the world of literature. For example, you have that, the Odyssey is about that Odysseus, you know, when he's coming back from Troy, and all that, you know, serial vaudeville and having a lot of, monsters like the Cyclops and an angry god, the god of the ocean, Poseidon, behind him, you know. Against him, and coming back home, you know. And even home, it was not that easy because when he came home after 20 years, he discovers that his house is in complete chaos with a lot of pretendant trying to get his wife, Penelope, you know, as to be a successor of his kingdom, you know. And you have in the Divine Comedy of Dante Alighieri, you know, the great narratives of the Western world. The first call to adventure is the first phrase I remember. It was, "I find myself in a very dark forest," you know. So he's going through the underworld in order to rise and to see his spiritual. To find the divine marriage with Beatrice, you know, at the end, you know, kind of Epiphania experience, you know. So we are more or less having that kind of experiences, you know, no matter, you know, even there is some kind of Dante Alighieri in every one of us, you know, and at all levels. That's great. We are all participating in that great adventure, and the idea of free will, if you want, is something very magic in the sense that we have these possibilities to create our lives, to be co-creators, if you want, you know.
I think that is very important. That is, you were saying creators and co-creators, absolutely. Well, I have some announcements to do, and then I think that next. Have something to add about Magician's Journey in Tarot, but announcements about upcoming shows. Tomorrow is Monday with Catherine Han, Discovering You Truly Are series, Speaking Your Truth and the Open Lines. And on Tuesday, it's The Power of Sleep. with a special guest, Dave Nunnally. And next Saturday, it's Psychic Saturday. What's real? What real is luck and how to have it? Oh, I think everybody is very interesting about that. Wow. So that is upcoming shows. So, Dax, are you with us? No, perhaps you took a little break. So, Frankie.
Yes, well, I'm very fascinated by doing an intersectional analysis of several systems, because when you look at it, you see that, for example, in astrology, you have a transit of Saturn on the sun sign, for example, which is always an ordeal to meet, you know. There's some, a lot of job to do. And then you see that with I Ching, and you see that with tarot, the specific sequence of archetypal signs, you know, and you see that with some medium telling you that, some messages from a deeper mind, if you want, the cosmic mind, about that situation the person is encountering, you know. So that intersectionality is very interesting, that all these systems of voyance, if you call it, you know, seeing in the invisible, if you want, you know, are juxtaposing each other, you know. And that's very fascinating because, you can use anything, but they are there, you know. It looks like they are a part of, if you want, a kind of holographic picture of the universe coming forth through these systems, if you want. And you have an answer, you know, where you are, that specific phase of your karma, if you want, your karmic existence, provided, the idea that you're living billions of lives in that sense, or even just a life. But it doesn't matter, you know. It's just a matter that the hero's journey can give you a very solid foundation for a psychological, taking a psychological distance and to reflect and meditate on yourself, you know. You understand?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So what about the magician and the magician journey? I really like the magician in the tarot cards. So, Dax, what's about his journey?
Yeah, I thought that was fascinating that the magician came up in the reading for the last caller, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about the hero's journey, and in tarot, people that study tarot often talk about the fool's journey that we mentioned. But when I first started studying tarot many, 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 many decades ago, right away I saw it as the magician's journey, because the first card in the major arcana, card number one, is the magician. And if you take the other four card number ones in the other four suits in the minor arcana, it's the four aces, and you can arrange them in a cross and create what we call the cross of manifestation. And it shows how the tarot is more about manifesting the future than predicting the future. And it all starts with this start to the hero's journey, where we step out of the ordinary world, where we start thinking outside of the box and stepping outside of our comfort zone. Yeah.
Yes.
And we actually did a radio show on this in, I believe it was in January. So if you go over to psychictalk.net, it was on Friday. So psychictalk.net/Fridays with an S, and scroll down, you'll find a blog post, The Four Steps to Manifestation. You can listen to the show. There's also a link to open the cross of manifestation and see what I'm talking about with the four aces and the magician in the center. Also on any page on the website, on the far right column, if you go all the way to the bottom, you'll find a search box, and you can type in manifestation or law of attraction tips. It'll show up that way as well. And yeah, I see it more as, you know, it's evident just from the fact that the very first cards, card number one in each of the five suits, are about manifestation. Yeah.
Manifestation, yes. And I think it's very interesting as you're also talking about stepping out of the comfort zone and dare to take the next step, because life, it can be real scary.
Frankie,
you have also worked, Frankie, you have also been working many, many years with tarot cards. So do you agree with Dex was telling you about the magician? Or?
Yes, more or less. Yeah, he's right. Exactly. That has to do to what I call, he called manifestation. I call it co-creation, if you want, you know, like being an unconscious and then a conscious and a superconscious agent in the fabric of this universe. I don't know if I if these words are right, but I agree with that, absolutely, sure. Mm. I was just pointing out, for example, do you remember that movie, The Count of Monte Cristo, you know?
Yeah.
From the novel of Alexandre Dumas, you know, and this is a classical story of the hero's journey,
Have you seen the film and read the book?
I couldn't understand you. What did you say again?
The Count of Monte Cristo.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, sure.
That's
a classic literature. Yeah. And you know, the hero's journey is found in everything. For me, the archetypes and the hero's journey, I see it most clearly in modern terms in, for instance, Star Wars.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Absolutely. Oh, by the way, I was going to mention a quote by Alan Kay. He's the creator of GUI, or graphic user interface. He's responsible for, you know, we wouldn't have laptops if it wasn't for Alan Kay. Mm-hmm. And it was around 1971. He was at a computer symposium or convention of sorts, and he was giving a speech, and he said, "The best way to predict the future is to invent it."
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, that's great.
And that goes along with what I was talking about with tarot. You can use tarot, sure, to predict the future, but we all have free will, and so we can decide to go down a different path, make different choices as we move forward. So anytime you do a reading of any kind, you're doing it from the now, and you're looking at potential outcomes. And it's based on a trajectory from the past into the now and then into the future. But you can look at that potential outcome and say, oh, I don't want that, and make different choices and go down a different path. And with tarot cards, you can do prediction, but it's only potential outcome. It's not, you know, written in stone, this is what's going to happen. So the better way, I think, is to create your own future as you go along, and that way you know exactly what it's going to be.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Very much like the process of individuation spoken by Jung, you know. That's the way you are putting it. Yeah. Dax, do you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you elaborate on specific sequence of ordeal when some other arcana are coming up during a reading, you know, and the obstacle to overcome? Do you understand what I said?
Oh, I'm not exactly sure.
What sequence?
Maybe rephrase it a little bit.
What sequences of the hero's journey can you see when the arcana cards are appearing in the reading? You understand what I mean? Like a general view about where the person is existentially speaking. You understand what I
right.
mean?
Exactly.
Can you elaborate
on that? You can get a gist of that when you're doing a reading, and certain major arcana cards, well, even minor arcana cards indicate certain places on the journey. Okay, so we might see, for instance, the Tower card come up, and you know this would be the supreme ordeal in part two of the hero's journey. You know, and the Fool card would be the call to adventure in part one. It would be talking specifically about, you know, leaving the ordinary world and traveling out into the unknown. And in the Fool card, the figure is depicted as having a traveler's stick with a bundle attached to it. And often, tarot, the people that work with tarot will talk about that he hasn't opened that satchel yet, but in the traveler's satchel is the four elements represented by the four, don't know how to say it, in the minor arcana, where you have the wands and the cups and the pentacles and the sword representing earth, air, fire, and water, which are all the elements of manifestation, also minus the element, the quintessential element or the fifth element, which is spirit, and that's represented by the major arcana cards. And so as you go through these different cards coming up from the major arcana are talking about these different steps in the hero's journey itself.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Good interpretation.
Mm.
Dax, for example, when you are... when the devil card or the tower appears in the reading, what is your impression in that case? What is your sense of interpretation?
It would be in the alignment of crossing the threshold and getting into the tests and allies and enemies in the hero's journey, the supreme ordeal, even parts of the initiation in the hero's journey, and cards like the Hermit would be, which actually came up in that earlier reading, is representative mm-hmm. of the mentor or the helper step in the hero's journey.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give you some examples.
Yeah, that's great. So the Hermit card can be linked to the ordeal of Jesus in the desert at the same time, because he needs to put some light upon his being. He was not that aware, you know, when he went into the desert. And the meeting with devil is a good illustration of that. What do you think?
Yes. And even in the major arcana, even in the minor arcana, some of these cards, like the Page of Wands, is very representative of that. I mean, the figure is literally, you know, searching, and in the desert, and there's pyramids in the background, you know. So it's almost literally describing that. And there's other cards too, you know, as far as the mentor and the helper, for instance, the Hierophant would also fit in that role, classical archetype from of the mentor or the helper, the teacher, from part two of the hero's journey.
Absolutely.
Yes, 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 absolutely.
And, you know, there's many other examples and cards like the Sun card or the World card can represent the return or the reward from part three in the hero's journey. Even cards like the Ten of Cups from the Minor Arcana would represent that, you know, that return, the road back, atonement. They're all steps in the hero's journey.
Nice. It's very many ways to view tarot cards also with the hero's journey's underlying, and you can see it. But you said, Ax, that when you are doing readings for people, you don't talk that much about the hero's journey. You just have it in your back head, or?
That's right. Now, there are some people that use tarot when they're constructing narrative. So a lot of writers actually use the tarot cards, and they'll shuffle and go through the cards either randomly or on purpose looking and pull cards that'll give them an indication of, you know, where a character is in the journey, or a suggestion of a new character and what their archetype would be and so forth. And, you know, so that's a direct use of the tarot to fill out the construct within the narrative of the hero's journey. Now, when you're doing a reading for a client, okay, these are things that are in your language, you know, in your mind, and there may be, you know, some situations where you're talking a little bit about the journey and where they are, but not specifically normally. Normally, this is just information that informs the reader, and then they take that and use it within the reading structure with the client without verbalizing it to the client necessarily. You don't want to confuse them.
Depending on how advanced the client is, some clients I really wanted to know about their journey in life and the purpose with life, and some just want to know about, you know, the future, the job, and the love life and stuff like that. So you can do the tarot readings on different kind of levels.
Yeah, I mean, there are some people that are interested in the cards and interested in the details, but a lot of people, maybe even a majority of clients that seek out a tarot reader, for instance, they want specific answers to their specific questions, and that's all they're interested in, and they don't care how you get there. Now, occasionally you're going to have somebody that wants to go deeper, and it gets more into a life coaching situation, and that's where you might actually bring out the hero's journey and talk about, you know, where they are and how they can proceed to get to their goal.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Frankie, you also do it when you're doing an astrology reading.
Yes, because I'm using actually the same approach, because with advance, I mean advance, well, hyphens, you know, people who are quite, comfortable in this ideas of transpersonal psychology and having been reading Jung and, knows those system of thoughts. Then I'm introducing, for example, the Sabian symbols, which are in astrology, a sequence of meanings for each degree of the charge, you know, there are 360 meanings, and they are very, very fascinating. You know, they were discovered by the famous medium, Elizabeth Taylor, you know, together with Dan Rudyard, one of the master of, you know, astrology teaching, if you want. And it is exactly what I was speaking about, that juxtaposition of system, the tarot, the astrology, the I Ching, and you put that with the Kabbalah, you know. That kind of work was done by Aleister Crowley, you know, and he was great on that, no matter in the Book of Tarot, no matter how crazy he was in some way, you know. But he wrote a very, very exciting book, the Book of Tarot. He was very, very creative, very intelligent, you know. And and you find that kind of narrative as Dyke is speaking about, when the approach is radically different, because the person is asking an existential question. It's not a an event oriented conversation only, you know. It has to do with meaning, you know, global meaning, you know.
Yes. Well, yeah, this is a very big subject that we have been speaking about, talking about, and discussing today. So we are going to do it next time and move on with the hero's journey. And for us, I think it's time to end the show. If you would like to have contact with Frankie or me to book a private reading or an astrology session, you can visit our host page at psychictalk.net, Lottie, or psychictalk.net/Frankie. You can also find us at Facebook, Lottie and Frankie Spiritual Landscapes, or at our website, spirituallandscapes.net. And look out for psychictalk.net, and you see amazing shows and a lot of good people, psychic people, helping you out in different ways. So thank you, every listener. Thank you so much, Dax, to be our guest today.
It was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's good. And thank you, Frankie, for a great show. Thank you, our listeners, for listening to us. So don't forget to listen next time. We have the Hero's Journey Part 2, and we have open lines. So don't forget to listen and call in. See you in about 2 weeks. Bye-bye, and Frankie, see you in the kitchen.